Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to The Sound of London. This is Londonist Out Loud. I'm Anne Quentin Wolfe, and you join us midway through a pub tour with the inimitable Vic Norman, leading us on a distilled version of his Strand and Goblet tour. If you like the show, demonstrate your affection by going onto iTunes and giving us a lovely, cuddly, warm review. Or indeed get in touch via any of the usual social media means. It means a lot to hear from you. Among the people who've done that, Konstantin Pinaev, who goes by Moscow London on Twitter, has been in touch with some very useful pictures and maps of the bombing that went on around the northern side of the Strand. A couple of bombs in 40 and 41, which looked to be responsible for what we were speculating might or might not be bullet holes in the side of St. Clement Danes Church there. Excellent information as always, and he mentions that the church was only fully restored in 1958. Lots of love coming our way for the cycling podcast we did a couple of weeks ago. Jason Cobb, Evo Lucas, thanks very much, guys. And a special thanks to Pedro, and I'm going to take a long run at this one. Pedro Figueredo. I think I've just mangled your name. But Pedro, thanks very much for the kind words and for being there. Thanks also, Mark Foyle. I hope you're enjoying your walk. And we're going to enjoy our walk as well as we pick up somewhere just slightly north of the Strand.
Hey, baby, let me take you down to a place of strange sights and sounds you ain't never seen the like before. Just a stone's throw from your front door.
Hello, hello, listener. You're joining us, of course, at the start of the second part of a pub tour of London. It's the Strand. He's way ahead of me. Is it the Strand and Flagon, this one? No, that's Flagon and Dragon. Strand and?
Goblet.
Goblet.
Yes, as in of fire. Goblet. Yes. Wine goblet.
I don't like the look of this at all. In fact, there aren't many alleyways quite this creepy in London. I've been down a fair number of alleyways. It started out small and glum-looking, and now we're in fire escape territory, and at the end there's a man patrolling. Oh, should we be here?
Well, it is a public thoroughfare.
It doesn't look very public.
Well, there's not a lot of people here. Absence of people doesn't make it private.
No. What are we doing? This pub too nervous now?
No, this is fine. Oh, this is normal. Just follow me to the end of the alleyway and all will be revealed.
Do you know that round-the-horn joke? Cross my palm with silver and I shall reveal all. Well, here's tuppence, just take your coat off. And we're about to go up some steps. Prepare for authentic step noises. Yeah, they seem real enough.
You couldn't have stepped any better. You're a pro at this stepping, Clark.
I've got my technique down. Coming out of the alleyway off Strand. I can't say Strand. Correct though it is, it sounds awful.
I'm not happy with it.
No. Well, anyway, where are we now? We've emerged on a road full of restaurants.
We're on Maiden Lane. And I come up that alleyway, one, just to beguile people with London's alleyways, but also to
come out...
Well,
that was a very unbeguiling alleyway.
I wish you'd not been down there at night.
What happens at night?
It's darker. and therefore more mysterious.
Is that your beguiling technique? Just make it darker?
I think beguiling is enabled, one, by three previous pubs, and two, by darkness.
Right. Yeah, no, that all follows.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a shield they've got outside that pub.
Well, this is... this. You've been here?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a pub. It's part of the restaurant. This is London's oldest restaurant. This is Rules on Maiden Lane. That's what, also why I come up here, to point Rules out. Glorious.
If my history is correct, this was established in 1798.
And your observation skills on the canopy is also second to none, yeah. Quentin.
If my historical knowledge extends further, I think their website is www.
Yes, you're clearly a keen student of history. So London's oldest restaurant, Thomas Rule, opened it in 1798. They have their own estate in the north of England that source all their game. I have yet to be there, though I am booked in there in February to go for lunch with my wife. Have a look at the menu.
Jersey rock oysters, braised wild rabbit and cider.
They sometimes have jugged hare. I'm not entirely sure what jugged hare is. I imagine it's like a really poor magician's trick. Just cram a rabbit into a jug.
Your wife's going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
Again. I was alarmed last time.
I think alarmed, shocked, surprised.
Oh, there's a bit of history down here, the historical text. In the year Napoleon opened his campaign in Egypt, 1798, Thomas Rule promised his despairing family that he would say goodbye to his wayward past. It reads like a novel.
Hmm.
Settle down. Oh, that was a comma. Settle down and open an oyster bar in Covent Garden.
That's
well, we could go on, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody I've spoken to have eaten here. And all right, it is a little bit pricier than the average restaurant, but it's London's oldest restaurant. Have a look in the windows, the glorious dining experience.
Well, that does look very tasteful. But we're on a pub tour, of course. This week, we're visiting a further three pubs. And the teaser you gave us at the end of last week's episode was that we would be visiting what?
That we would be visiting one of London's finest gin palaces, the only pub in two halves, and London's oldest wine bar.
And which is up first?
They are in that order.
In that order, okay. So we're looking for a gin palace around here. Now, I've seen pictures. We went to the Ginstitute up in Portobello Road.
Okay.
Not so very long ago, made some gin, and we were talking both there and in respect of the Gordon riots about the gin palaces, and they form, of course, a significant chunk of our history, and arguably a low point as well because of the gin epidemic. They always are presented as extremely lavish places.
Hence the word palace in gin palace.
It was that sense of grandeur because they served an exclusive clientele, or was the idea, like with a Wetherspoons or something like that, they made something very big and spacious for everybody to enjoy?
No, I think they were to keep the working classes off the street as a kind of counter-revolutionary ploy.
Well, you really mean this as a social engineering though?
Yeah, I really do. I think substances have been used as counter-revolutionary ploys for centuries.
I've been quelling my own revolution for some time in that case. Well, more on that later.
That's more evolution.
Devolution. But who was then controlling the gin palaces? Because I didn't imagine that there was any state interference or steering.
No, I don't think it was a state thing. I think they were private businesses that set up on the back of gin being so popular to provide a place to be able to purchase cheap gin and keep them people inside.
So the tax move was the control part.
I'm really not sure on that point.
Yeah, they made the gin cheaper than beer, didn't they, at one point?
Oh, gin was like water. Probably safer than the water. You couldn't have water with gin. You had to have tonic, didn't you, of course? The reason why we had tonic, because you couldn't trust the water, I suppose.
Yeah, I seem to remember that tonic is good for... Is it quinine or something? Does that not work against something?
Anti-malarial?
Oh, that's probably not a problem around here.
Malaria?
Will we have malarial mosquitoes? No.
No.
I haven't got one. Around the corner we come. We're at the Roundhouse on Garrick Street.
The corner of Garrick Street and New Row, which is a lovely lane. I really like this little road.
I'm very conscious of how much more touristy it got in about the last minute. I feel like I don't know if we were just walking through
because there's the
party.
Covent Garden Piazza.
Aha.
Is just over there. So, part of the West End, and we're heading into kind of theatre district down there, which is St. Martin's Lane. So, yeah, very, very busy. But I did promise you a beautiful curried goat patty.
Is that, are we near the curried goat?
We are seconds away.
It's our fourth pub. The curry goat.
It's on, yeah, so people get hungry halfway through a tour, don't they? And I point this out, and people nip in to soak up some alcohol before continuing on. It's always nice to have a potential quick food stop somewhere.
Now, I've been on tours with people who quite clearly have arrangements with food vendors on their trip. Do you have arrangements?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have an arrangement with them at all. I have on the food tour, I have an arrangement that I would be bringing people in on a given time and how many there are, and I might get mine for free or whatever sometimes in different places. But apart from that, no, there's no backhanders as such.
We're passing. Well, it smells very good around here. To our left, Japanese cheesecake is available. To our right, on the other side of the street, we have a Hatter's. We have Hardy's Sweet Shop, and we have, ding, 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 we have Jamaica Patty Company.
Hello, mate.
Is it a golden original rum cake?
Yeah.
How are you, all right?
I'm on a podcast with the Londonist.
We've met a man with a black plate, and he's got cake.
This is Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
What have you got on your plate?
I've got Jamaican rum cake all the way from Montego Bay.
That sounds very nice.
A lot of it is made in Cayman Islands, but my wife's Jamaican. I have no option. I have to fly it in from Montego Bay. It costs me more, it's more hassle, it's more expensive, but it's Jamaican.
But it is beautiful. We get rum cake at Christmas. They've got a coconut rum cake, which is absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. But right, carried goat it is. We're going to have a short break in the podcast while we carry ourselves. Not while we carry ourselves, while we eat the carried goat.
Yes.
Let's break and eat. You are listening to Londonist Out Loud. I'm Ian Quentin Wolfe. I contain one patty. And Vic Norman, my guest, contains also one patty. And very good they were too.
They were, as usual, excellent.
I'm into my goat patty, and that was something else. In a good way, not something else. It wasn't a goat patty. I don't mean that.
So you mean curried goat you're talking about? Are you rather partial normally to those?
And a bit of jerk chicken done the right way.
Yes, I think everyone associates Caribbean or Jamaican food with jerk chicken. And I thought, you know, a lot of people when I say, oh, come and try this curried goat, and they think, goat, I can't have, you know. And they try it, and they think, that's just very special, very different.
Well, I think that's a strong enough endorsement for that particular place, and if we carry on like this, we won't get to the end of the street. And on which subject, which street are we in still, and why?
We're in New Row. It's the most attractive way to come from where we were to where we are going to, and where we're going to is the Salisbury. Began life early 1700s, the coach and horses. Lord Salisbury. Oops. Lord Salisbury turned it into a gin palace.
Did you do that? The sound effect there was that you did something to something.
I was trying to
pronounce... That sounded like a comedy sexual harassment encounter.
I was trying to pronounce last week's special, unique French letter, but failing miserably.
Excuse me?
Ooh.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so, Lord Salisbury turned it into a gin palace. 1898, I think. Actually, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor celebrated their second wedding here. So, and it's famous theatrically. Just look around, we're in the heart of the theatre district. We're on St Martin's Lane, and that is a beautiful gin palace.
From out here, it's got some of the same qualities that we've seen, I would say, in that Art Nouveau pub. There's a lot of gold leaf from this angle. On display, but it's also got the dark wood that we've seen on Fleet Street, in fact.
Yeah, and the typical etched glass of old Victorian pubs and or gin palaces. And as you go in, it's elaborate lighting, marble tiling, wooden panelling, all of these things, these ornate over-the-top decor is typical of a gin palace.
Well, from the Salisbury, we're going to start moving, and we're going to move in which direction?
We're going to head south towards Trafalgar Square, but a couple of stops first.
On last week's show, we were facing abysmal weather, and a week has passed, and you'll be pleased to know, listener, that the sky has lifted, a blue sky has appeared, and we're enjoying the gentle light of the January late evening. That sounds terribly sarcastic. That is actually true apart from the week bit.
Well, compared to what it was like, this is quite glorious. So this is, here we are now, this is the road off of St Martin's Lane, Cecil Court, now home to antiques and collectibles and some old bookshops. But this was the inspiration for Diagon Alley.
Yes, it's got that vibe about it, doesn't it?
Harry Potter was completely filmed within Warner Brothers Studios, but...
And also, it was... Now, where did the inspiration kick in? Because I thought I remembered that the books were written in Edinburgh. Maybe I've made that up. Yeah, I thought J.K. Rowling was holed up in a cafe somewhere up there. Maybe I've made that up, though. You can tell me I'm completely wrong about her writing location, or indeed anything else that you've noticed about the show. Hopefully positives, but who knows. On the comment section, both on the Londonist.com page for the podcast, but also on the review section of iTunes. And listener, if you like the show, do us a... what's the expression? Do us a...
If you like the show,
do us a favour. Do us a favour. Do us a solid one. No, I can't.
Do us a solid one.
Yeah, that's a that's a don't do a solid one.
No.
Well, I mean,
if you're going to do one at all,
do
probably
solid.
Healthier to
be
solid. loose bowel movement.
Do us a. You can't. I don't wish to raise my mic and you say loose bowel movement.
I don't know what you're asking.
Do I have to start laying rules down here?
You're saying,
I was trying to remember the...
Is the one?
Yes, it's an expression. Do us a... Do us a solid one?
Do us, no, that's a, that is one. I don't think that's an expression.
Revolting.
I mean, not a normal expression. Anyway.
What do you say when you say, do someone a favour?
Do someone a favour?
You've done me a favour there, pal. You've done me a... One.
I owe you one.
No, not that. Well, look, while you're on the reviews... no, don't do it on the reviews page. No, while you're on the comment section, but if you don't mind reminding me what I should be saying on the podcast as well. Essentially, if you could give us the material and then comment on the material, listener, that would be awfully helpful. Thank you. You've got patty all over your face, did you know that?
Have I really?
Yes.
Okay.
That should be me. You know, this is the peril of having not just a beard, but an extreme beard. Semi-caveman.
Are you saying you have an extreme beard?
Yeah, I do have an extreme beard.
Is this now a sport?
Yeah. Yes, this is the...
extreme bearding.
This is the edgy, younger version of having a beard.
Extreme bearding.
Well, as we proceed down the street...
Okay.
There's some people with a globe spinning on their backs... It's a sort of a multiple atlas scenario.
Those people are made of stone, just perhaps the listener should know.
Which people are they? Do they have names?
I don't know if they have names. But it's the opera, isn't it? So English National Opera.
Now, am I right in thinking that there's a spelling mistake up there? I think that's not how you spell Colosseum.
Are you suggesting that they're omitting... An S.
I think that might be the problem.
That's one of the problems, I think.
Well...
How would you spell Colosseum?
I don't know that I'd dare.
You don't dare to spell Colosseum?
I think I might jangle my vowels about first. No, I think I'd need to see it written down, and not like that.
Double S-E-U-M sounds right.
Yeah, well, I'll go for that.
And the C-O-L bit sounds right.
Yes.
Is it an I, though?
Somewhere in the middle, we've got a problem.
Yeah. I think it should be a double S, the Colosseum. And
just to clarify, you really are listening to two men attempting to spell a word.
Covered in patty.
Should we throw some facts out?
Facts?
Yes.
About what?
Real life facts, about anything at all.
Anything at all?
No, yes. Don't do what you're about to do.
What was I about?
Reel yourself back in.
Are we going to talk about dinosaurs?
No, local facts.
Oh, okay. Local facts.
Yes, local to this area, and perhaps specific to pubs.
Okay, you're limiting.
Yes.
I was going to talk about the London Eye.
Wait?
I was going to say, did you know why there are 32 pods on the London Eye?
Oh, no, why?
Each one represents one of the London boroughs.
Is that true?
Yes, it's a fact.
Which one does the red one represent?
Which red one?
There's a red pod.
Redbridge?
we need to keep... I've just seen the time. Good God. Let's keep going. Have we actually done a pub yet on this? Yes, we did do one. We did a gym palace.
We did pub number one. on the second part. We've done. Yeah.
We need some more pubs quickly.
Pubs coming up. Well,
that's 25 minutes.
What?
On this so far. We've done 25 minutes on this episode.
But we haven't done anything. We just left the patty company across the road.
That was very much my point. And we didn't even record the eating of the patty.
Well, no, it would have been...
No, I'm not recommending that we should have recorded the eating of the patty. I think that might be testing the listeners' patience beyond the limit.
Would you like me to speed up my walking pace?
No, I'd like you to say something.
Want me to say something?
No, Mr. Bond. I want you to lead a pub tour.
I'm attempting to lead a pub tour. I'm distracted continuously.
Oh. Well, we've emerged. We've arrived at I should know what this memorial is, and I don't. And it says fortitude on one side, devotion on the next. It's a lot like a cenotaph. And that is Nurse Edith Cavell, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness for anyone. Noble words.
Yeah, she would say... she was very famous in the First World War, wasn't she, for resisting.
Yeah.
Not successfully in the end.
And she died in 1915.
She was not so resistant to bullets.
Yes.
We're crossing the road now, across to the National Portrait Gallery.
I do love London facts. I think there are probably more obscure facts about London than any other city I know.
You seem to have very good recall as well. That can only help in your job.
Yeah, well, I'm leading a tour and distributing historical and interesting information about London. So, but I've always remembered odd, obscure things. But
have you got a blind spot?
A blind spot?
Yeah, I'm thinking, speaking for myself, I find that there are certain sorts of information I find it very hard to remember. You know, typically people struggle with dates, for example.
No, dates I'm really good at. People's names, after I've, you know, met them once, I remember their face. I know you, but I've no idea who they are.
So you're okay as long as you don't meet Johnson or Simon Smith.
As long as I'm touring on my own with no other people, I'm fine.
Which, after this recording, may be exactly what happens.
Well, this is my future career, to wander lonely through London, touring myself.
So well, there's an amazing piece of public art here. This is innovative, edgy. This is the future. A man dressed up as Yoda, badly.
It was innovative and edgy 8 years ago in Covent Garden when they did the floating Yodas and the floating Axemen and all of this. And people go, how is it done? How is it done? It's bloody obvious how it's done, isn't it, really? Mm. It looks nothing like Yoda.
No, I mean,
he's got a Yoda mask.
We're watching the Yoda at the moment, and he's, for a start, 6 foot tall, which is not one of the traits you know Yoda for. He is levitating, but he's also blowing kisses, and again, not a Jedi Master trait.
Travesty he is.
Trafalgar Square. And as is traditional, a seagull on top of the head of the statue.
Can I take issue with your claim that that's a seagull?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, what now? Are you about to have a funny turn?
In that seagulls don't exist.
Funny turn.
Funny turn.
Carry on.
There are no such thing as seagulls.
Right.
Well, Well, there are all kinds of...
Just a set.
There are all kinds of gulls. There are common gulls, there are herring gulls, there are black cap gulls, there are great something-something gulls, but there's no actual gull called a seagull. It's just a loose term that all human beings, not all human beings, a lot of people use to call gulls just because they're gulls. But whether they're by the sea, whether they've never been to the sea, whether in the middle of the countryside, or whether they're landlocked gulls. I feel better now.
You seem like you needed to get that out.
I did. It's important.
Is this what we do on the podcast? I reckon we go around the tours and you're very polite to all the people on your tours. And then we come on the podcast and you vent your spleen.
No, there's no such thing as spleen. No, I believe there is a spleen. Most people have a spleen.
Is the spleen, not a spleen?
It's spleen. 159 spleen.
And it is clear to me that there is no public house on Trafalgar Square, and yet we are heading down the steps towards the overflowing fountain.
Well, there's no public house on a lot of places we've been to, but it's the route through to one.
Oh, I see. That.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the unusual things about Trafalgar Square that you might not know.
Smallest police station in the world.
More in the country.
In the country?
Yeah, although it's no longer used as a police station. It's more of a storage for wires and things. But you could fit two police officers in there at a push, I think.
The object we are looking at actually forms part of one of the walls around the square. Slopes down.
Southeast corner.
Southeast corner, says a local man. And it's got a black... It's kind of TARDIS size and shape, and serves a not dissimilar purpose, potentially. I bet it's full of cleaning materials now.
It serves a not dissimilar purpose to the TARDIS.
Not the time travel element of that.
Apart from the time... which other purpose are you referring to?
I have no idea how on earth do I...
Should we move on? We'll just move on. Let me tell you about something else.
I think we should. Do you think that sign there, it's a graphic of, you know, a red circle with a red line slashed through it, and it shows a picture, it shows a pigeon, some food on the floor, and a hand that's obviously just served the food up. Do you think that's a sign for the pigeon's attention or ours?
No, I think that's attempt no bad pigeon hand shadows.
Only, yes. Let's leave.
Shall I tell you a little bit about Trafalgar Square?
Oh, yes, do, please.
That's what happens when you're four pubs in.
Yes.
Or one pub in. So everything you see around you was put in place by 1845, apart from the lions, which were 1868. And I think, though the jury's still out, I think that they're not based upon cats, then they're based upon dogs. So I think it's done by, is it Landseer who did the lions? Based them, something to do with when a feline, as opposed to a canine, is resting, they have a concave versus a convex back. Yeah, I believe the cats were possibly modelled on dogs.
Okay.
The lions.
Mm-hmm.
In their...
Except for the head and the mane and the tail.
Except the fact that it looks like a giant cat. Yeah.
Yeah, all of those minor details.
Apart from that. Also...
Maybe you just made a mistake when he did the back.
Why do we have the fourth plinth? Do you know why? It was going to be William the Fourth, but they ran out of money.
Right.
So it stayed empty until, the recent edition of...
I like what they've got up there at the moment.
I don't. But
oh, really?
Again, every single thing they've had up there has been controversial, hasn't it?
Mm.
They had the ship in the bottle.
Yep.
They had the boy in a rocking horse. They had the woman, the statue of woman, the armless, legless lady. They had where a public could go up there for an hour and do whatever they want for an hour. Didn't they? They had a giant blue cock.
We should have done that. Sorry, I came in at the wrong moment. Sorry. About to say we should have done that to the previous idea on the plinth.
William the Fourth?
No, we should have gone up there and broadcast for an hour from the plinth, shouldn't we?
Did you not do that?
No, we should have done that.
That would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah. There is talk of there being a permanent statue put there shortly in the next couple of years.
Of what do we know?
I can't bring myself to mention her name because it brings me out in hives. But it's an ex...
Not Diana.
...prime minister.
Oh. But no, really? We're going to put her up there?
There is talk. And did you know that before they put Nelson on Nelson's column, there was a meal up there?
A meal?
Yeah, dinner.
What do you mean there was a meal up there?
Well, before they put Nelson on there, yeah. So it's a flat. Well,
it can't have been a real meal. The
restaurant.
The seagulls would have eaten it immediately.
I thought we'd covered that already. Où est le seagull? No, there was a table, chairs, meal. To celebrate the almost finishing of Nelson's Column and Trafalgar Square.
Well, okay. I'm not going to take this line down. This is a lie. There was not a meal up there.
When you go home tonight and Google it...
Oh, I see.
I'm sure I will receive a text in the morning apologising.
Okay, but in anticipation of that, what the hell are you talking about?
The organising committee of the architects...
Do you mean a statue of a meal?
I don't mean a statue of a meal.
You mean an actual meal?
That would be nonsense.
Well, it's nonsense to put a meal up there.
Not...
For one thing, who's going to see the meal? It's all the way up there. Secondly, it'll be gone in 10 seconds.
There were a dozen diners.
Yes.
Table, chair, waiter service.
Oh, there were people as well?
Yes. People had... They had a
banquet. You meant somebody had left a sandwich on a plate up there.
No. No, I mean, they had the organising committee, but somehow got up the top. The table was all laid and everything, and they had a meal on the top of... That wasn't a dream. That's true. I'm sure that's true.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah.
It reminds me of those fellows up on the skyscrapers in the 1920s having their sandwiches. Similarly vertiginous.
No, absolutely. Like in Empire State Building, and they're sat out on a girder with nothing but sky and imminent death a short buttock move away. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Do I try and do a link there? We're going to move our buttocks away too.
Yeah.
To the next pub.
Something more amazing to show you than it's the next two pubs are very close. Good job, I'm doing this really quick.
Out of the bottom end of the Trafalgar Square, and here's the statue. This is Charles I.
Yeah, it's Charles I.
On his tiny pony.
Yeah, it's a horse. Ironically, he forever looks down to the very place he had his head removed from his body. Which is, I think, rather sad, really, that he forever looks down to that very place. So, 30th January 1649. But also, really important place. That's the exact centre of London. And I know this is controversial, and many people say other things for the exact centre of London. But I'm fairly sure that this is it.
A lot of people say just up the way there at Charing Cross Station, just outside,
right.
don't they?
But the reason they say that, I think, and some London cab drivers will tell you the same. So, if you go back to King Edward, his wife Queen Eleanor, he was in Scotland, she went to Lincoln or York or something, she took ill, she died, so grief-stricken was the king, had a body brought back to London, decreed everywhere the body stopped for the night there, they should build an Eleanor cross, right? So 12, 13 crosses were built, so there are only three remain. There's a replica Eleanor cross outside Charing Cross Station, but the original one was right there.
What leads you to think that?
What leads me to think it?
Oh, that was the wrong question to ask.
Which is like, what leads me to...
A regal disdain has crept into you.
I read it in a proper history book.
Well, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, but that's a replica Eleanor cross, yes?
I don't know if you were conscious of this, but when I challenged you just then, you're carrying an umbrella that is furled, but you extended your handle as if ready to strike.
Did I? On guard. Yes. Of course, everybody knows the story about Big Ben and how it's not Big Ben, so I don't need to go through that, do I?
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen if we start asserting what it is, though?
That people say, well, I don't. You mean?
Well, they'll say, well, no, it's not St. Stephen's Tower, it's actually Elizabeth Tower with Big Ben underneath St. Stephen is Big Ben, and it was Sir Elizabeth Ben who was originally the tower that leaned slightly. Well, no, it's actually the House of Parliament that leaned slightly.
Are all your listeners Eton alumni?
That is one listener. He's very irritating. Stop listening, that listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Ben, well, Big Ben's the bell, isn't it?
Has it been tidied up? It looks suspiciously shiny and colourful.
Could be the light.
I haven't seen any scaffolding or
tarpaulin or anybody hosing it down.
Yeah, but I'm not wrong, am I? That looks, the gold has got a particular vibrancy.
Yeah, it could be the late afternoon sun shining across its burnished facade.
I was just thinking, all over its burnished facade.
Yes, not half.
Let's go and find
to the pub.
Yes, let's repair to the pub. Despair to the pub.
It's quite mild now, and there is blue sky. It's quite nice. Not a drop of rain. This is really interesting. Benjamin Franklin House.
We've recorded here. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, wonderful place.
Right, so, well, you know the story about it already. I don't waste your time talking about it. But, you know, potentially this was America's first ever embassy. But not technically America's first ever embassy, I believe. I have this on faith from a US naval...
Naval gazer,
no. Works for the US Navy.
Office.
First ever US embassy was actually in Morocco. There's a link between Benjamin Franklin and the pub we're about to go to.
Which is... He drank there.
In that it was his local. And So Benjamin Franklin said, "Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." Those words are written on the benches in pub number 2 on this particular tour, the Ship and Shovel, the only pub in 2 halves.
The Sound of London. Londonist Out Loud with N. Quentin Wolfe. Listen free every week on your favourite podcast platform. Subscribe via iTunes and get great extra content at londonist.com. Tweet the show at Londonist Sound. And see pictures of all our guests on the Londonist Out Loud stream on Instagram.
You are listening to Londonist Out Loud, present and correct, and about to enter a pub, the Ship and Shovel, which one must be careful to enunciate correctly for a podcast.
Yes, in that it's not shovel, it's shovel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, you're quite right.
I knew that what you meant was the pronunciation of ship, but I thought I'd point out that many people say it's Ship and Shovel, but actually it's double L, because it's named after Admiral Shovel.
Admiral Chevelle, surely.
Yes.
Aha.
Very good. I did that deliberately. Originally it was only on one side. And when the Thames was embanked, we talked about that a while ago, last week, did we not? When the Thames was embanked... They bought a warehouse that was on the bank of the River Thames as well, and they made the only pub in 2 halves. There was a tunnel underneath, a proper tunnel and not an archway, that connects the two. It's a staff tunnel. Obviously, a normal pub would have a cellar underneath it, but it being a pub in 2 halves, sometimes there's a necessity to connect the 2 halves in terms of food, etc., etc. And oh, the offices and other things are underneath as well. But it's quite interesting.
This should be fairly straightforward then. If we open up one of these manhole covers up here and do a bit of a Hatton Garden job straight down, we'll find the beer.
We could get away with £14 billion worth of
ale. Yeah, I'm less interested.
No diamonds down there.
Okay. Where are we going next?
We're going straight through. This is...
Who's this bloke, by the way? Who is he?
Admiral
Chevelle. Yes. What's he? Is he noted for anything in particular? Yeah, the pub named after him, didn't
he? He did.
Yeah.
And invented a instrument of navigation. The only instrument of navigation that I know...
The sextant. Was it the sextant?
It wasn't the sextant. It was another one. The septant. It was the later version. You know, like the iPhone 7. The octant. He invented the octant.
What I really want is that Pentium processor noise to kick in there. The septant.
Yes. No, you did that very well.
Yeah,
it was the septant.
Should we progress?
Should we go, we'll go straight through Craven Passage?
Yes. We will indeed.
Is that the end of the double entendres then?
Well, I don't know. They keep they keep popping up unexpectedly.
Well, I actually don't really like double entendres, but every now and then I will slip one in.
The Charing Cross Theatre Players Bar and Kitchen.
Hey, walking underneath the station.
I thought there used to be a magic shop down here.
Really?
I might be imagining it. No, I'm thinking underneath.
You mean invisible?
No.
No, it's not just smoke and mirrors hidden away.
Sure,
somewhere.
It was here. I thought they used to sell. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they used to sell magic tricks.
It's escaped. Is heaven?
Oh yes.
Yes.
I didn't know I'd be seeing heaven with you.
That's exactly. Yes. Handy in Craven Passage.
And we've got the entrance to Charing Cross on our right, and we're into that. Little pedestrianised road that... well, not entirely pedestrianised, but the one that leads us down from Strand down to Embankment Station.
So do you know where we are now?
Yeah,
I'm just asking you for directions.
Just describe where we were. What do you mean?
Do you know this area?
Yes, I know this area. Just over there we've got the Hungerford Footbridge. On the other side we've got the Shell Building and Holland and Barrett.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I find it's always handy to
Thomas Exchange Global Limited, I think, is near
navigate
here.
Navigate by health food stores in London. But we're coming to an end now, and the final pub is just up here. If you've never been in here,
there's a pub here.
Well, yes, we're on a pub tour. We're going to a pub now.
There's no pub here. Where's there a pub there? We're looking down towards embankments. No, there's no pub.
Well, then allow me to surprise you. Shall I tell you a little bit about it first?
Yes, please do, yeah.
If you've not been here, it's a very, very special place.
Well, I've been here. I've been here many times.
You've not been there's no pub. So when I take you to a pub...
Do you mean down there?
What do you want me to do? Take you there first or tell you about it?
I mean, if we go far enough in that direction, we'll eventually hit the pub.
Yeah, we'd have to get very wet first. Because we're across the river. No, it's this side of the river, this side of the station. This is where the Strand and Goblet tour ends. I've referred a couple of times this week and last week to the Thames being embanked, yes? So back before the Thames was embanked, there was a warehouse building on the banks of the River Thames, which when the Thames was embanked suddenly became redundant because it was no longer a warehouse building on the banks of the river because the banks of the river were set further back.
Would they have had to knock it down, or how did it...
No.
How did it continue to exist at all?
It could... Oh, thank you for the question. It continued to exist because they turned it into what is now London's oldest wine bar.
Let's see.
Deep underground in caves and tunnels.
Ah.
Do you know of what I speak?
No, I don't.
Allow me to show you my... Allow me to show you...
The tunnels?
The caverns and the...
Good Lord.
And the tunnels... The real caverns and tunnels underneath Villiers Street that is Gordon's Wine Bar. Absolutely amazing.
Well, there's a little gateway off to our left. I think that's where we're going. And it's next to a snack shop. Very unassuming entrance. Down a few steps and we find ourselves in a long yard with barrel tables. And if we head through the doorway to our left, down a few more steps. And we emerge in a room, wood panels, wood supports, and further down into a vaulted ceiling, very low vaulted ceilinged area. Can't stand up straight. Got the look and feel of a crypt, apart from the trappings of a public house. It feels as though we're riding down a corkscrew, and we've come around several times and we find ourselves back at the front door. What a great place.
Gordon's Wine Bar.
We're doing the whistle stop version of the tour here, and rather than stopping for a pint, we're going to bring ourselves to a halt outside. What a great place. That's got a unique feel.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah, really unusual.
What are we on? About 4 or 5 o'clock? Probably not 5 o'clock yet in the afternoon, and the place is pretty much packed out.
This is open 7 days a week. It's open. It's absolutely heaving in here. So you imagine on a Friday night when I'm bringing a tour of 20, 25 people.
You're either very popular or very unpopular, depending on business.
Oh, well, it's just another 25 people out of the hundreds. I mean, all we're looking down here is a long terrace, about 100-metre long terrace. There might be 40, 50 people along here now. This is absolutely rammed with hundreds of people come the night time. But,
That brings us reluctantly to the conclusion of a two-week tour of just a few blocks, really.
Ostensibly.
We haven't gone so very far in nautical miles.
We've gone one tube station over to the west, haven't we, really? We started at Temple and we finished at Embankment.
Well, listener, thank you for your endurance, really. You've done well.
Bearing with us.
Yes. And we're going to leave you just about there. If you want to embark on another of Vic Norman's tours and be confused by him in person rather than via the wireless, the correct URL is
www.londonpubtours.weebly.com.
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
What, the website address?
The Weebly part of it. Why have you got Weebly in your name?
Okay, well, it's a subdomain. When I first set it up many, many, many years ago, Weebly's a kind of drag-and-drop web builder. I built my own website. And if you call it our domain name is completely free. So I thought, oh, that sounds good. So I'll do that. And years later, when I've become the biggest or most famous pub tour company, people say, well, why do you have the Weebly? Why don't you have .com? But there's so many hits on the website now that it'd be foolish to change the name. So I kind of kept it.
So you'd be...
victim of my own success.
Sticking with your Weebly.
I'll be sticking with it, yeah.
Good. Well... also available on Twitter and Facebook, and you can find those links on the page below where you're listening to this show. But for this week, last week as well, Bic Norman, thanks very much.
Thank you again.
And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Bic Norman. Thanks to Bernie Barclay. Theme and incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. My name, Quentin Wolfe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.